Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The men that play the game of football are superior athletes that just enjoy and have a great passion to play the game. But they also have some other great talents and skills that may not be known. Today, Joe Ziemba of When Football is Football joins us to talk about the great number 93s and some of their awesome stories coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. And we have our Jersey by Numbers series kicked off. Once again, we are up to jersey number 93, and we have our good friend Joe Ziemba joining us. Joe Ziemba, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Thank you, Darren. And boy, those who love defense will certainly enjoy this episode. We have the Sack Masters, some of the greatest defensive ends and defensive tackles of all time. Of course, we've got the unusual ones, too. We have a gentleman who got in trouble for chasing Brett Favre around and got in big trouble for that, even though that was supposed to be his job. We have another one who was the president of the Players Association for 8 years. We even have a young adult author whose books were made into a Netflix series. So we're ready and raring to go for this one with the Sack Masters.
Boy, you're tease tonight really has me on the edge of the seat. I can't wait to hear these stories. I guess we'll start off where we always do, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and we have just one number, and that is John Randall that is in Canton, Ohio at the Great Museum. And I learned something earlier this week, Joe. I learned, you know, because I was noticing, you know, these 90s had, you know, one or two or maybe zero Hall of Famers in them. And I didn't realize that the NFL somewhat outlawed numbers in the 90s for a long period of time until like 1973, and then again in 1984 with some rules changes. I didn't realize that players couldn't wear the 90s.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Great job, Darren. You're always keeping us up to date.
Yeah, I guess 1984 was a big one, and I don't even remember it happening. But they allowed linebackers, because of the advent of the 3-4 defense. Before that, linebackers were only allowed to wear numbers in the 50s, but they were running out of those numbers real quick with that 3-4 defense when teams were putting, you know, 11, 12 linebackers on a roster. So that was my sleuthing this week.
I love it. Thank you.
Okay, so where do you want us to begin tonight, Joe?
Well, maybe with our lone Hall of Famer that I could find, who would be John Randall. Of course, just an awesome defender. And fearsome looking, he had eyes that would pierce through his defender. And he wore a lot of that eye black, so it looked like war paint. A very fearsome defender, 7 times a Pro Bowler, 14 years that he wore number 93, and had a great reputation, even from teammates and his own defenders that would, again, excuse me, offensive players that would go against him. One of the good quotes I found was from the Vikings defensive line coach, who said that John Randall is the best defensive lineman in football. And another good quote was from former Packers coach Mike Holmgren, who talked about him as being that John's very cruel to most quarterbacks in the league. And a lot of that came from what I just mentioned, chasing Brett Favre around. It came from a commercial the two wore. And the ad began with Randall was sewing some kind of garment, which he later revealed was the Packers' Brett Favre jersey. And then subsequently would show him locked in a backyard, chasing around a chicken wearing the Brett Favre jersey. Of course, that got him in trouble from the group, the treatment for ethical treatment of animals, that didn't think it was very funny. So he had to make some apologies for that. But that's when Holmgren said, yeah, he's a guy who does, he is cruel to most quarterbacks in the league. So John Randall, I think, is going to be very top of our list to make our top 10 for tonight, based on his performance on the field, as well as those who played against him, consider him a very, very good defender, both at tackle and end.
Yeah, clear cut number one. You know, what a great career he had, you know, most of it being with the Minnesota Vikings from 1990 all the way through 2000. And I didn't remember, but I guess he did quite a bit with Seattle, playing three seasons there in the early 2000s.
He had
20 some sacks in those 3 years. So he was a significant player there as well. So,
and we have several other defenders that maybe we'll mention with your permission, sir.
Sure, most definitely.
One was considered undersized, Dwight Feeney, only 6'1", which is a good sized gentleman, especially when you weigh about 270 pounds and you've got some quickness. Played 16 years in the NFL, mostly with Indiana. 14 of those, he wore the number that we're talking about tonight, 93. 7 times went to the Pro Bowl, won a Super Bowl, and he was named to the all 2000s team, all decade team by the Hall of Fame. He developed a great spin move for his size and led the NFL in sacks in 2004 with 16, ended his career with 125.5 career sacks. So he was quick. He was shorter, still muscular. He was one of the fastest 40-yard times ever run at his pro day, I guess, 4.40 for a defensive lineman. But he often talked about his height or lack of it, and he said he used it to his advantage instead of a disadvantage. And Freeney said that if you want to have good leverage, you want to be low coming off the ball. So being a little shorter helps me to do that. The game is all about leverage. The height thing is overrated. So Dwight Freeney, 6'1". Now I'm going to put him on our list for tonight too, Darren, based on those 7 trips to the Pro Bowl that he made. And as we mentioned, led the league in sacks back in 2004 with 16.
Yeah, definitely a great player. You know, it's funny, though, that he was considered too small because he's almost the exact height and weight that John Randall was. I mean, John Randall started
a
decade earlier, but they were within 2 pounds of each other, both at 6'1". So it's funny that they say that. But, yeah, Feeney, I didn't realize – I knew that he was fast, but I didn't realize that Dwight Freeney ran a 4.4 at the combine. That's really quick.
Very, very quick. Yeah, one of the all-time best for defensive linemen.
Okay, I definitely agree putting him on our list too. Which direction would you like to go to next?
Well, maybe we'll keep with some of the defenders, which I think is going to dominate us tonight. And next we have the man everyone loved to hate, unless he was on your team. I know someone in Chicago when he played for Detroit that Ndamukong Suh was the chief and a very, very tough defensive tackle, 6'4", 313 pounds. The last 7 years that he's played, he's worn number 93. Won a Super Bowl, 5 times he went to the Pro Bowl, 2010 Rookie of the Year on defense, and in 2015 was the highest paid defensive player in history. But as we said, teams love to hate him. He had a couple of problems. Stomping on a ball player on the other team, perhaps, was one of them. But you love him if he's your teammate. He was the first Lions rookie to start a Pro Bowl since Barry Sanders. And I know our friend Mr. Chapman, who's a Lions friend on the Sports History Network, probably knows that. And he did have some challenges that people say were with his composure, although Kyle Vandenbush, one of his teammates who we're going to talk about in a little bit, said, to kind of defending him when they played with each other, he said any personal fouls he's had in the past were in the context of a play. He's never done anything outside of the lines in practice. He's a guy that sits next to me in meetings every day, and he's calm, cool, and collected. I've never seen him lose his cool in practice. So Mr. Suh, a tough player, 65 and a half sacks and still going, and 202 quarterback hits in his playing career. So quite a player, as long as he's on your team.
And he got to
nominate him for our top 10 list tonight.
Yeah, he great player, and he got to hold up the Lombardi Trophy last year too with the Tampa Bay. So he's still going strong with the old guys club down in Florida that's still playing good football. So
I heard they've got a couple of guys, even somebody over 40 on that team, but that could be a rumor.
Yeah, I think it's an ugly rumor. I can't believe that. That would never happen, right?
Right.
So what do we want to do with Mr. Sue? Put him on our list?
I put him on the list.
I agree.
As much as you hate to say it, he destroyed the Chicago Bears when he was with the Lions, and he's still a force. So, but yes, reluctantly, we must recognize his ongoing talent.
I agree, but maybe if he had played in the AFC North or AFC Central at all, I wouldn't agree, but he didn't. So he can stay in the NFC.
Good one. And another defensive end, he also played linebacker, defensive tackle, and nose tackle, is Greg Townsend. Member of the Raiders for his entire career, I believe. Played here for Philadelphia. But he was in the league 15 years and wore that number 93 proudly every year. Twice made a Pro Bowl, one-time Super Bowl champion. Had 109 and a half sacks in his career, which is still 23rd on the all-time list, and even returned three fumbles for touchdowns. But he's also now an author. He wrote his memoir called All Times. I think we should give him consideration for our top 10 list tonight based on the long time he played in the league and what a force he was on defense for primarily with the Raiders during his career.
I remember him too. He was a great player. And yeah, I think we should probably be talking about him near the end here. We'll put some marks to make sure we call his name up again here when we go into our deliberations. Who would you like to discuss next, Joe?
Let's talk about a taller defensive end, not a 6'1 guy, but a 6'8, 300-pound defensive end, Calais Campbell. 14 years in the league, all wearing number 93, six times Pro Bowler. The Hall of Fame named him to the 2010 All-Decade team. And in 2019 or 17, I believe, he won the Walter Payton Award. So he's done some great things in terms of, especially with the Jaguars, setting records for sacks. He holds a team record for 14 and a half sacks for the year and also for 4-1 game. He donated $1.6 million to the University of Miami for a special endowment for the football team for defensive linemen. So he's one who has given back after a marvelous career, which is still going on, and he's now with Baltimore. So I think he rates a real strong, strong support for our top 10 tonight, Mr. Campbell.
Yeah, and I think he even had a great career with Jacksonville, but those years with Arizona, especially that 2008 season when they made the Super Bowl, he was like the catalyst of that defense and a very strong player. And another one, I'm kind of upset with the NFC letting him come over to the AFC North. he's wreaking havoc there now. So, but yeah, great player and one we want to definitely be talking about here as we get near the end.
And okay. Our list of defenders continues, Darren. There's a guy that made his name as a 6'6", 300-pound defender, but he played fullback in high school and also played saxophone in the marching band. That's an all-around athlete and student. And I'm talking about Kevin Carter. Broke in with St. Louis back in 1995, played 14 years in the league, all of them with number 93. He was 274 pounds when he ran a 4.66 on his pro day and grew into, like I said, a 305-pound defender. Ended his career with 104 and a half sacks and led the NFC in 1999 with 17 sacks. So, again, he's one. Kevin Carter, I think, deserves to have a look at one of our top 10 tonight, which is turning into an all-defensive team. Of course, with that number, I think that's where we're going to end up with all defenders. So Kevin Carter, I guess I would support for our top 10 tonight. He did make the All-Pro team twice, went to the Pro Bowl twice, I should say, and won a Super Bowl. So Kevin Carter.
These gentlemen that you're, these last few are not only large, but what great resumes that they have, you know, to be playing, you know, defensive end and be over 300 pounds and be that tall. And you, you know, you have to have a little bit of quick on that to hold that edge. And these guys are just doing outstanding jobs of it during their careers. And you know, hats off to them for being such great athletes.
Well, another larger man was Kevin Williams, played most of his career at the Vikings and finished with Seattle and New Orleans, 13 years. In 12 years, he wore number 93. Six-time Pro Bowler, 5 times All-Pro, named to the Hall of Fame's All-2000s decade team. And he was, Minnesota always seems to come up with great defensive ends, but he was only one of three rookies to start a defensive end for the Vikings. And he ended his career with 63 sacks. And based on that multitude of Pro Bowl years, I would like to nominate Kevin Williams to be on our top 10 list tonight.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a natural pick to go in as our fourth pick that we're selecting here to be on there. Yeah, great, great player. They had another Williams on the team at the same time. They were really a force to be reckoned with on that Vikings line, weren't they?
Absolutely, yes.
But they weren't related, but I know they were both named Williams. It was tremendous players.
Then we have a defender played nose tackle. Nose tackle, they don't get the applause for the sacks or for the running down the quarterback when he's hopelessly blocked by two or three guys, but Jerry Ball, most of his career, he started out with Detroit, played 13 years, wore number 93 for 11 of those years. Here's a guy who was often double teamed at 6'1 and 330 pounds. He clogged the middle up. He was known as a run stuffer. He was hard to get around. So he didn't have a whole lot of sacks, but he played alongside John Randall, who we mentioned earlier. When he moved to Minnesota. So that would have been a tough defense. And Jerry Ball was kind of a humorous guy. He once scored a touchdown, picking up a fumble, running it for about 20 yards. And I found this quote from him that I thought was kind of cute, where he described his touchdown run. So bear with me. He did a play-by-play of his own score. He said, okay, here comes Ball. He sees the fumble. Ball goes over and scoops it up. Now Ball begins to rumble. He sees Rich Gannon coming over. He says, uh-uh, don't try to touch me. Gannon dies, but Ball leaps up higher than the Empire State Building, over the top. Touchdown, Ball. Thank you, Ball. I love players with personality. So Jerry Ball, 13 years in the league and 3 Pro Bowls, 1-time All-Pro. Could be on our list tonight, Darren.
He could be. Now, when you're 330 pounds and only 6'1", and you score a touchdown in the National Football League, you're going to embellish every part of that story you possibly can. And I don't blame Jerry. That's a great story and a great memory to have. And, you know, and you talk about, you know, that was sort of the job of that nose tackle in that era. You know, they wanted to eat blocks up. They wanted their backers to flow through, especially the 3-4 as the whole premise. Let those two middle linebackers, you know, swing through some holes by, you know, eating up a center and a guard with a block. And he was one of the best that did it. So, you know, great job by Jerry Ball.
It's fun when I mentioned having some personality, and what a thrill for a lineman to score in the National Football League.
He is probably one of the largest men that's ever scored a touchdown, I would imagine, in the NFL. That's a big dude.
The fact that he leaped over the Empire State Building to get in the end zone was pretty impressive. A guy that size, maybe he dragged the building over just to make it interesting.
That could be. Could be.
We have another player I like, who, another defensive end, 6'6", 310, who didn't make an All-Pro, but for our purposes, he wore number 93 for 15 years. That's Philip Daniels, broke in with Seattle, played some time with Chicago, Washington. As I mentioned, he started for 3 teams and had 62 career sacks and I believe over 500 tackles during his career. Of course, it's hard to read my writing. He's now the assistant coach, or was the assistant coach with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl. And Mike Holmgren, again, had a good quote about him, about Philip Daniels. He said, he's a strong man, very good versus the run. And if you concentrate too much on that, he can pass rush as well. So when you play against him, you're working all day long. So Philip Daniels, yeah, never made it all pro, but wow, 15 years in the league. I'm impressed.
Yeah, especially playing a defensive line. That's no easy chore. You got somebody hitting you every single play. And think about that. There's only, you know, 10 guys on the field that can really say that they get hit every single play. And that's those interior linemen on both sides of the ball. So great job getting 15 years out of that.
It is amazing how long some of these guys played. Keith Willis was another one, 12 years, started with a team called Pittsburgh.
You may have heard of them. Team, Darren. Yeah. I've heard of them before.
But at 6'1 and 260, he still was, he was two times in the top 10 for sacks. In 83, he had 14, and 86, he had 12, and ended up with 59. He's currently the defensive line coach for Tennessee. So you may have more to add about Mr. Willis.
Yeah, he was a part of a sort of a rebuilding defense. So he came in 1982, and that was about the time, you know, Jack Lambert got his turf toe and he had to go in retirement. You know, Ham had been gone. LC Greenwood and Mean Joe Green had left. So he was sort of that resurgence of the Pittsburgh defense, that star that they were really looking for. And he really lived up to the billing, too. He didn't have a great supporting cast at the beginning of his career, but towards the end there, they were starting to build something special there at the end of the 1980s, early 1990s, when Bill Cowher became the head coach and got a lot more help on defense. And his numbers somewhat stayed pretty steady, but they declined a little bit because he had so much other help around him that could get in on the quarterback. But he was definitely the centerpiece of defense while he was there.
Yeah, 12 years in the league. So very impressive.
Okay, where do we want to go next, Jojo?
Well, a couple more defenders, surprisingly. The best nickname, which is the longest one I've found in a long time, was a player – spent 15 years in the league, all with number 93. And he liked to be called the man who would be king. And I'm talking about Trace Armstrong. Broke in with the Bears. That's how I remember him. Played with Miami and Oakland. He had 106 sacks during those 15 years. Named to the all-rookie team, and his teammates awarded him with the Brian Piccolo Award when he's with the Bears, which is a very nice honor for an all-around, not only as a player, but as a person. And as we mentioned at the start of the program tonight, he was president of the National Football League Players Association for 8 years. He's now a sports agent with a lot of very visible clients. Ended his career with 106 sacks throughout those 15 years wearing number 93. And didn't have a lot of all-pro honors. He made one Pro Bowl, but certainly was an influence every team he played with.
Yeah, I wonder if he's now a sports agent. I wonder if he represented himself when he was a player. Maybe that's
good question. He may have, yeah.
So I know there's a few of them that do that. So if they're smart, they save a lot of money that way. That's for sure.
They do, a good percentage.
Especially when you're that size, doing the negotiating yourself might be a bad idea. You know, 275 pounder.
They might tend to intimidate whoever's on the other side of the table.
Very true, very true. All right, we will take a look at him again. Later on here. And who do we have next, Joe?
Next, we mentioned him earlier, Kylan Vandenbosch, and defensive end from Nebraska, three-time Pro Bowler. He was a fullback in high school, but ended up his NFL career with 58 sacks. Long 12 years in the league, all wearing number 93. And he came back from two ACLs. I mean, one on each knee. He may have had more surgeries, but I'm always impressed when I see where someone can come back from that and be a force on the team. A lot of years at defensive end, had a good number of sacks, 58 sacks. He's had a good quote as a defensive lineman, and Jim Washburn, one of the coaches, said about him, he was the Titans defensive lineman coach, said, "He's a whole lot more than a try-hard guy," Washburn said. And this is after Vandenbosch came back from the knee injuries. He's quick and he can run. He's good with his hands. He's a lot more than advertised. So I'm so happy when I see a guy that can come back from serious injuries. He's now a current color commentator for the Cardinals. But as I said, many years in the league, 12 years, all wearing number 93. So we may want to consider him for our top 10.
Yeah, he really is an amazing story, because I believe, according to Pro Football Reference, he only played one game in the two seasons of 2003-2004 because of those double knee injuries. I think they were back-to-back years, like you said. But he came back, he left the Cardinals, and I think maybe they said, hey, you know, this poor guy's had enough. But he didn't. He came back with the Tennessee Titans in 2005 and had 12 and a half sacks after you know, double knee surgery. That is tremendous to come back and have a season like that after, you know, especially with a new team. Some great willpower there and great healing power as well. So, yeah, Kyle VandenBrosch is definitely one we want to take a look at later here.
Yeah, a couple more, again, surprise defenders that might want to mention. Trevor Price played 14 years, nine of them with number 93, was named to the Broncos' 50th anniversary team. Four-time Pro Bowler, won two Super Bowls. But he's the author I mentioned. He wrote a young adult series after he retired in 2010 called Koolipari, An Army of Frogs. And in 2016, Netflix made a series out of that. So here's a guy who really had a nice career, but now has found success doing something else, writing young adult fiction.
Yeah, it's hard to picture a man of that athletic, 6'5", 290 pounds, sitting down at a typewriter and having such success. But can't stereotype. You know, you have these big guys have some great talents off the football field, too. And you know, hats off to him on that. You know, great job finding a second career.
And just like to recognize maybe two others here. That don't have the old pro honors, but as I've mentioned in the past, I'm always impressed by anybody who can spend several years in the big leagues. One was Luis Castillo, played with San Diego for his seven-year career, wearing number 93, a defensive end. I guess I pushed him up there because he's from Chicago's Big Ten team, Northwestern. He ended his career with 19 sacks. And another individual, Wayne Martin, made a Pro Bowl. Played 11 years, all with number 93, defensive end out of Arkansas. And his entire career, those 11 years with 82 and a half sacks, were spent with New Orleans. So a couple more to consider for our list here today for our top 10.
Okay. Yeah, great job on that. I have one that maybe we ought to talk about here too. He wore the jersey for seven seasons, Richard Seymour. You know, just a tremendous career. You know, he wore the jersey 92. We talked about him in the last episode, but the majority of his career was wearing at 93 for the New England Patriots. And, you know, all in his career, you know, seven Pro Bowls, three All Pros, three-time Super Bowl champion, all 2000s decade team. You know, definitely somebody that's worth mentioning, I think, with these jersey number 93s.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Did you have some more players also?
No, I think that would be about it. It was so a lot of fun looking into defenders to see how extraordinary they were and all that it takes to going in to be a great defensive player that the folks we talked about had possessed that ability, and some overcame height restrictions, maybe weight, overcame injuries, to prevail on the football field. So a very impressive group.
Yeah. Did we talk about Gerald McCoy? Cause I don't think we did.
No,
no, but cause he's another one. Maybe we ought to look at six Pro Bowls to his name, and all pro, you know, defensive tackle. I remember him playing quite a bit, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2010 through 2018, and had a cup of coffee with Carolina, and also one with the Raiders. He's with the Raiders this year. So he's still playing. And has 59 and a half sacks to his credit, but another big body in the center of a line everywhere he's played. You know, six Pro Bowls is nothing to shake a stick at here. So he's another one that we probably ought to keep an eye on here.
Yes.
So, okay. So I think we might be ready to go into some deliberations here and try to figure out who we want to put on our top 10. And just to review, we've already put four men on who we've agreed to. John Randall, our sole Hall of Famer. Dwight Freeney, who probably will be a Hall of Famer real soon. Ndamukong Suh and Kevin Williams are who we have on there so far, Joe.
Yes.
Do you go through the list of who we said we wanted to talk about again also?
Yeah, I think those – and I like Gerald McCoy, and thanks for bringing him up.
No problem.
Pro Bowl six times.
Right. Okay. So the ones that we have not decided on yet, we want to come back to it. Calais Campbell, Kevin Carter, Richard Seymour, Gerald McCoy, Trace Armstrong, Greg Townsend, Trevor Price, Jerry Ball, Kyle Van Bosch, and I think and Keith Willis are the ones that we said we need to choose six of them to fulfill our obligation of our top 10 here. And I am, I think I'm going to vote Gerald McCoy as being maybe our fifth player.
Yes.
Those numbers. Okay. So there's five.
McCoy is good.
And I like Kevin Carter as well.
Oh, right. Yes.
Okay. So there's our sixth. Who do you have in mind here?
Trevor Price, four-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I think he's a good one. So he is our seventh. And, Seymour's got those Pro Bowls, too.
Yes.
Eight seasons, so we better get him on there, too. So he's our eighth.
I like that.
And so we got Van den Bosch, Ball, Townsend, Willis, Calais Campbell.
Well, Campbell, six-time Pro Bowl. I think we got to include him.
Yeah, I agree. So there's our ninth. And so probably if we're going off the Pro Bowl list, I think probably is Van den Bosch the next one that has. He has three to his name.
Yes.
So probably going to be Van den Bosch then.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be good.
Yeah, that was some good work there. So
it was tougher than I thought.
yeah, it was. You got these big guys, and they're some of their stat lines and their Pro Bowls that they've made are also similar. It's that really makes some hard choices, but they're all just such great athletes for being such large people, and you know, tremendous to watch guys like that when they can move around and make things happen. And so, yeah,
a good group, a nice list of 10. I think it's a very worthy top 10.
Most definitely. So we talked a little bit, you were just on recently, so we talked about what you have coming up when football was football, some upcoming episodes, and we're excited about that. Is there anything, could drop us a few teases on your book that you're wrapping up maybe that we can look forward to?
Yeah, the book is wrapping up. It's now in the publisher's hands, and it talks about the forgotten history of the NFL's oldest rivalry, the Bears and the Cardinals. And what's kind of fun was we tried to not rehash all the stories that might be well known, but to go behind the scenes a little bit to see if maybe some of the stories that have been passed down through the years are not accurate. So that was a great fun part of it, maybe why it took so long to get it together. So thank you for asking us.
Yeah. What's the most fun part of doing the research on? Is it doing, interviewing, maybe former players or family members, or is it, digging through those old newspaper articles or going to the library? What's your favorite part of the research?
Oh, great question. The favorite part would be when I read about something that's in stone and then research and find out, no, it's not. Maybe something that's been publicized year after year for the last 80 years, and you find out it's incorrect. And you go, whoa, this is wonderful. And there's no one to tell it to. So when the book comes out, there's a whole lot of stories like that. But I enjoy that. It's not that you look for it, but sometimes you find some information, you scratch your head and say, wait, this is not what I've read. It's contrary to what's been published. So that's always a lot of fun. And one of the sad parts is sometimes you interview relatives of players that may not have the right information or may have heard something happen throughout history. And unfortunately, the player did not accomplish that in 1935 or something. So that's always tough. So you just have to go with the truth and say, well, around the NFL, you can't get any worse than that. That's wonderful. I mean, any better, I should say.
Right, right. Yeah. So even a bad story is a great day for someone that's made the NFL in their career. So, yeah, we appreciate you preserving that football history and keeping us on our toes and bringing us the facts, especially with the teams from Chicago. And we're really excited about this book. And I can't wait to you give us some news of when that's going to be released so we can all start, going to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and every other bookstore and, hitting their shelves and have them come flying off into our reading library at home. So very excited about that. So
thank you. We appreciate that, Darren. Thank you.
Well, Joe, I appreciate your time again. I know I've kept you busy here the last couple of weeks. You just got done with your book and then you got some knucklehead calling you and saying, hey, Joe, can you help me out here? So I really appreciate that on these short notices and everything you've done through this great series that we've had. You've been on quite a few of our jersey numbers and we're winding down here in the next couple of weeks. I believe it's the last episode we have you on for. But just thank you so much for everything you brought to this series. It's been a real popular series and been a lot of fun. And you've been one of the people that's made it that way.
Oh, thank you. Just wonderful to see the response to the series. The numbers are extraordinary of people who are interested in this type of football history. So that always makes me feel good. And thank you again for allowing me to be part of this great program that you put together, Darren.
It's the players that do it all. And then the historians and experts like you that, have us remember it. So you guys perform all the magic. It's you make my job real easy. And it's been a pleasure to listen to all of you. You tell us about these stories and these great players and remember them. And a lot of people have wrote in and said how they, I remember that guy from, the late 1960s. I remember this guy. I remember that play you talked about. So it's just great stirring up nostalgic memories from somebody's younger years and that makes them feel good about football. That's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Joe, I won't take up any more of your time. I appreciate you. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Darren. Good luck with the rest of the series.
Hey, are you ready for some football? Some fantasy football? How about some daily fantasy football? Silly questions, right? Of course you are. You're ready to talk some smack and win some cash every Sunday and Thursday and Monday and whenever there's football games. The Sports History Network invites you to play your daily fantasy football this season at ThriveFantasy.com. Thrive Fantasy offers hundreds of thousands, millions in cash every day on NBA, MLB, PGA, golf, cricket, esports, and of course, NFL football. Every week during the 2021 NFL season, Thrive Fantasy has pool play contests and heads-up matches with prizes of all sizes, and even free play contests for real money. Sign up with Thrive Fantasy today to get a 100% match bonus on your first deposit for up to $100 in free daily fantasy football play. Visit sportshistorynetwork.com/thrive. That's THRIVE. Or enter promo code SHN when depositing at the cashier. Join Thrive Fantasy today, earn cash prizes, and support great shows like this at the Sports History Network. Now that's a win-win-win situation for you to kick off your own NFL season.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcast. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.